sermon today was suggested by the date of the month. This is the 31st of October, which is in sort of cultural and religious circumstances, the day of Halloween. And so while Halloween is not celebrated nearly as well in this part of the world, or nearly as it's not nearly as big a celebration in this part of the world as it is in the United States, nevertheless, it suggested the topic, and the topic is equally big in this part of the world. The topic for the sermon is witchcraft. And that's the title that I put on this sermon, witchcraft. It's a seasonal subject in celebrating Halloween in the United States. The star of the show is the witch. You know, and you go to the grocery store this time of the year to buy candy, so you'll have candy to hand out when the kids come and knock on your door and ask trick or treat. And you will find, I haven't been in a few years, but I presume it's still the same. Elvira, these big punch outs of the witch Elvira standing there by the Halloween candy, you know, with a broom and a beautiful woman. I mean, all witches should be so beautiful, I guess. But she is promoting the candy, but she is also promoting witchcraft. We think about Halloween. We go outside at this time of the year. Of course, Halloween is something that's celebrated in the kind of in the dark of the night. And we go out and you see the big moon, and the pictures you always have are of this woman on a broomstick going across the face of the moon. That's witchcraft. Witchcraft, we see also enumerated in a lot of our literature. If you've been required to, as I was required to, study Shakespeare when I was in high school, we did a couple of things that were very, very interesting. As I look back on it now, treatise to witchcraft. In fact, witchcraft seemed to be the dominant, maybe the dominant theme throughout these plays. Julius Caesar, in the beginning, is walking down the street of Rome, and the soothsayers are on the street. And as he passes by, one of them says, "Beware the Ides of March." Now, he didn't pay much attention to it, but on the Ides of March, this soothsayer, this witch-like individual on the street, spiritually inclined, was warning him that he was going to have a difficulty on the Ides of March. And on the Ides of March, the very day that the soothsayer pointed out, then in the Senate, the senators of Rome knifed Julius Caesar to death. So there was that theme that went then throughout that play, Julius Caesar. If you look at Macbeth, and Macbeth, the opening scene is with a cauldron. A cauldron is a big steel pot with a fire underneath it, with all kinds of unclean things in it that is boiling. A witch's brew boiling in this cauldron. And these witches are circling around the cauldron as Macbeth opens up, and they are saying one of the main themes, the spiritual underlying theme of Macbeth, double, toil and trouble, cauldron boil and cauldron bubble. And the implication is that there's this spiritual set of things going on behind the scenes in Macbeth. So we find in our literature, we find that there is a lot that has to do with witches and witchcraft. In our culture, we see it with Halloween, we see it with other things. And so we look at all of those things and think about witchcraft. It's sort of introductory to what I want to talk about here in this sermon, because God has much to say about witchcraft. And I would say prophetically that witchcraft at the end of this age is a very important thing. So in this sermon, I want to present a sermon based on witchcraft, the witchcraft of this present evil world, and to look at God's condemnation and instructions concerning witchcraft. I have, in the beginning here, started out with a warning. God has warned us about witchcraft. And this warning in particular is pointed toward the end of the age. And we are living in the end of the age. Now, I don't necessarily think that it's going to end tomorrow or the next day or even 5 years or 10 years from now, but we are living clearly in the end of the age. I don't know how close to the absolute end we are, and neither does anybody else. I can assure you the Bible tells us we will not know. But I want to talk about three different scriptural things that relate to witchcraft. And I'll just ask this question. Am I only talking about Halloween? And the things that associate with Halloween. And I know that in Elmira last week, Ron gave a sermonette, or is it a split sermon? I forgot now. Having to do with Halloween. So that is witchcraft only something to worry about on Halloween? Or is it a much larger subject which we need to consider? The answer to that, you might say, what about, is it leering pumpkins? You know, I don't know if they cut out pumpkins and make jack-o'-lanterns here in Eastern Europe or not. And I'm getting a no. I got one yes back there in the back. It must be pretty unusual, but at least our tour has seen it. But Merritt and Valdor don't see it. The United States, for your edification, they take pumpkins and they cut the top out, take the center out of the pumpkin, cut a face into the pumpkin, and make it into a leering image that they put out with a candle in it during the middle of the night. It's called a jack-o'-lantern. It's a Halloween decoration. What other things do we see at Halloween? Well, misbehavior. That's sort of famous in the United States. On the night of Halloween, you go out and misbehave and do something you shouldn't do any other time of the year. But especially the young people are prone to do that because, after all, it's Halloween and you can get away with it then. Mischief. Various kinds of fun. Maybe fun for the doer, but not fun for the person to whom it is done. Trick or treat. Do you have trick or treat here ever? Trick or treat is a custom in the United States, especially the young children go around and knock on the door, and on Halloween night, and when people come to the door, they say, trick or treat. Now, this is not really understood in the way that it was originally understood. You know, it's just a, can you give me a piece of candy? Yeah, most people have bought some candy and have something there to give to the kids, a treat to give to the kids. And so the original text of that trick or treat, it was a threat. If you don't give me a treat, you're going to be sorry. I will play a trick on you. Maybe I will soap your windows. That would be a small thing. Maybe I will cut down a tree or do something in your yard. I would do some mischief to you unless you give me a treat. So that was the kind of thing, trick or treat. Halloween's famous for costume parties. People dress up like various creatures, and witches, of course, are the most, they're kind of the best one thing that you can dress up of. As being a male, I wasn't allowed to dress up as a witch. That was the sole propriety of the ladies, of the young girls. Apple bobbing, I guess I think about. This time of the year, apples are, you know, prominent, and on Halloween, people go and they tie their hands behind their back, or they keep their hands behind their back, and they float apples in a tub of water, and you have to bend over and try and chase the apple down with your teeth, catch it between your teeth, and you can pull the apple out, and you just keep it. So those are the kind of things. But is that really? I mean, those. I'm not justifying those things because God said don't do them. Nevertheless, I think there's something much bigger than the customs of Halloween that we're talking about. Something that is big all the year round. Something that is found throughout the entire face of this planet. Revelation chapter, and we're being warned as a people that God has called separate. We are being warned about these things and these customs. And I'm going to give you three warnings here in the beginning part of this sermon. The first part, the first warning that I'm going to relate to you is the warning that's found in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 15. This verse of Scripture is the very end of the Bible. The city of New Jerusalem has come down from heaven, and it is including all of those people that God is happy with. But it is excluding certain people that God is not happy with. And here's what this Scripture has to say about those who are not allowed to be a part of New Jerusalem. Verse 15 of Revelation 22. Without are, he calls dogs. Now here, dogs means, it has to do with homosexuals. Sorcerers. What are sorcerers? Well, soothsayers, like we talked about in Julius Caesar, witches like we talked about in Macbeth, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and makes a lie. They are excluded, it is saying here, from God's ultimate city, which he's bringing down to the earth, at least in a symbolic way. Sorcerers, by the way, and this is interesting too, because it often is associated with witchcraft. Sorcerers here is translated from the word pharmakos, P-H-A-R-M-A-K-O-S, pharmakos. And that also has a root word which relates to pharmacy or drugs. And a lot of drug abuse as well involved in witchcraft. Drug abuse and witchcraft go together. So that's the first warning. You don't want to be one of those people who are ultimately shut out. That's a warning. Don't be involved in witchcraft. Revelation 17 and verse 2, going back, we find something else that relates to, I would submit to you, it's a little more subtle here, but it relates to witchcraft as well. There it says, there's a vision that John is seeing, and it says, with whom? In this vision, the earth, the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now in prophecy, and this is a very prophetic vision that John is seeing here, it is not really a literal woman, but it is a religious symbol. And so, in prophecy, when you see a woman, you're talking about a religion or a church. And here he sees this woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Revelation 18 and verse 4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you are not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues. This woman, and the picture that this woman is presenting, is one of a witch and witchcraft. Witchcraft is involved. So that's the second warning. Come out of her so that you will not be receiving of her plagues. And it's relating here very large to this whole planet. And that you be not partakers of her sins. Witchcraft is involved in what you see, that vision of that woman. A couple of things I want to also say about this is, who is this being directed to? Revelation chapter 22, saying that there's this litany of people that will not be a part of the ultimate city of God. So here and now in Revelation 17, he's saying, come out of her, my people. There is a particular people to whom this is being addressed. It's not being addressed to the whole world. The whole world is not paying any attention to God's word or the scriptures anyway. But it is saying, come out of her, this system, this religious system, mixed up with all kinds of other things and witchcraft of this world. Come out of her. Here's the third one, the third warning. Again, directed to God's people, not directed to the whole world, but The world's not being held responsible for these things now. But those whom God has called, who have accepted the calling, and who have been chosen, have the responsibility to be faithful And here's part of what it means to be faithful. Galatians chapter 5, let's read verses 19 through 21, because it talks about the works of the flesh. And Paul is condemning the works of the flesh. He's going to go on to say, after he finishes talking about the works of the flesh, the works of the Spirit. But let's pay attention to what he says the works of the flesh are, because this also is a warning to us. The works of the flesh are manifest or apparent, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You know, those all fall under the heading of sexual sins, don't they? Works of the flesh. There were four things that were listed there, which I think we could say all have to do with sexual sins. Verse 20, idolatry. If you're reading along, the next word is witchcraft. Work of the flesh. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Paul is going down here. Calls these things works of the flesh. They're not all of the sins that we might be involved in, but these are sins that we might be involved in which satisfy our flesh. Fleshly satisfaction. Endings, by the way, Estonians have told me since I first came here that envy is sort of the national characteristic of the nation of Estonia. And they say they have a saying that one Estonian eats another Estonian. Envy. Murders. Drunkenness. Alcoholism. Revelings and the such like. I tell you, which I told you before, as I have also told you in times past, they that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we're being warned. One of the things we're being warned against here, which would prevent us from being a part of the kingdom of God, is witchcraft. So we got those three. I just put these three scriptures. I could have given you many more scriptures that would give you warnings against witchcraft, but I put those three in for you to pay attention to. So we're warned three times for completion. That's a number of completion. To whom? God's people. This warning is being given to God's people, not to everybody. And the time frame is clearly the end of this age. We have those can only be directed toward us to be aware of these things. Witchcraft, though, is not always something, as God views it, is not something we would look at as being obvious. It's hidden from our view or hidden from our understanding oftentimes. I'd like to go back to Revelation chapter 75. It's 17 verse 5. And tell you, witchcraft is not easily discerned, and here's how I will establish that for you. You know the woman of Revelation chapter 17 that we read about, who's sitting on this beast. In verse 5, we didn't get down to verse 5. We stopped before we got to verse 5. We stopped at verse 4, where it said, come out of... No, I'm sorry, that's in 18. We stopped at verse 3. John said he was carried away in the spirit into the wilderness, and he saw this woman sitting upon a scarlet beast full of the name of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. But verse 5, jumping down to verse 5, it says, upon her head. Now, she is a witch. She's involved, deeply involved in witchcraft. Upon her head was a name written, mystery. Mystery. It is not something which is easily discerned or understood. Mystery, Babylon. What in the world does that mean? Mystery, Babylon, the Great. Mystery, Babylon, the Great. You mean there's a Babylon the Small and a Babylon the Great? If you say something, if there's not more than one manifestation of something, then why make the distinction if there's only one? Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. Verse 6, I saw this woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And he said, wow, was she impressive. Was she impressive. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. You know, you go in there and you see this beautiful cardboard cutout of a woman when you go in the grocery store to buy Halloween candy to give to the kids. And there's this beautiful, well-endowed, may I say, woman who's been cut out and is sitting there as a cardboard cutout to advertise Halloween candy, but also to advertise witchcraft. I wondered with great admiration, what about that name? You know, God names things for what they are. And here's this woman, on her forehead, a name is written. What is the name? Mystery, Babylon, the Great. Let's take that part of the name. Mystery, Babylon, the Great. This is the witchcraft of this age is really well-concealed. In regard to that, I don't know if the teams are on here or not. I know Artur is here. But I think of a quotation by Winston Churchill where he said, Russia is a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. I'm sorry, Eric. I think I surpassed the marriage vocabulary with that. A riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. It is a very difficult thing to see and understand what's going on in Russia. That's what Winston Churchill was saying. And I said, it's like this woman sitting there on this beast with this name on her head, and she is a witch, really. And it is saying about her, it is mysterious. It is not easily discerned by the population in general. God puts the name on something that it deserves. It is a mystery. Babylon the Great. Now, why does it say Babylon the Great? Why does it say Babylon the Great? Because it originally came out of the nation of Babylon, right after the flood. The religious systems all across the face of this earth originated at the time of Nimrod and Semiramis following the flood. And they have cloaked themselves in mystery, and they have hidden themselves from the world as far as what they are. It is like Winston Churchill said, they are a mystery wrapped in a, what did I say? A riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. But to get down to the meaning of the riddle, you've got to get through the enigma first and then through the mystery to get down to that riddle, to solve and understand what is going on. Satan deceives our entire world. Most people will not, indeed cannot, see witchcraft for what it is. It's not just Halloween candy or luring pumpkins or mischief on one night out of the year. Witchcraft is a much greater subject. I would submit to you that witchcraft has to do with everything virtually that's going on the face of this earth now, as God views witchcraft. Who's the author of this? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. It's a mystery, isn't it? It has been kept a mystery. It has been cloaked in and hidden from understanding to the general public. Who does that? Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Here's where we get a description of Satan the devil. There is a Satan the devil. The great dragon, talks about there in Revelation chapter 12, Satan, was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world, was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The reason I bring this verse of scripture up is a descriptive about how Satan operates. He deceives the whole world. Now, deceiving somebody is only possible as long as the person being deceived does not know that he's being deceived. The moment a person knows that he has been deceived, he is no longer deceived. But that's the modus operandi, the method of operation, modus operandi, the method of operation of Satan the devil. He is able to deceive this entire world. That's according to the scripture. Only small groups here and there, scattered people in a few places, really understand what's going on. But witchcraft is not, when we talk about witchcraft, we're not talking about only one day of the year or something that's small. We're not here, and all of what we're doing, really, I can say, we're not just playing marbles. You know, we're not out in the schoolyard. We used to have our marbles, and we go out and play these games of marbles on the schoolyard, and everything was kind of nice and so happy, we were happy with everything. We're not playing dolls. We're not playing marbles or playing with dolls if you're a young girl. We're not, that's not what this is. This is deadly serious stuff. It is a sin for which God is going to bring a lot of correction on the face of the earth. He's not going to destroy the earth. He's not going to destroy mankind. But he's going to straighten mankind out. And witchcraft is, as you will see here, one of the big things God is going to straighten out on the face of this earth. As he sees witchcraft, and as it is mostly hidden from all of the world. Let's look at let's ask the question. If this is a mystery, how do we go about this mystery. How do we understand what it is? What does God tell us to do if we want understanding? There is a key to understanding for all kinds of issues, all kinds of matters that God has in the Bible. This is a key. This is the, I would say it is the big key to gaining understanding. Psalms 111, verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That's just the beginning. But recognizing that God has power and strength, that He is able to create and to build the entire universe, and how could this universe exist without a creator? Recognizing that, recognizing God as having, as being that kind of a spirit being with incredible strength, recognizing that, that's the beginning, but only the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, we're looking for wisdom which relates to witchcraft here, but anyway, recognize that. You've got to allow God to set the rules. We have to allow God to set the rules for us and tell us what we can and can't do, what we should and shouldn't do. As we talked about in the laws of clean and unclean meats, who decided what was clean and what was unclean, and why did he do that, and on what basis? Same here, witchcraft. God has defined what is acceptable in regard to witchcraft and what is not. That's the beginning of wisdom. But we can continue on from there in this verse of Scripture. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding. So if you want to move from the beginning of wisdom to a good understanding, that's step number two. Have all they that do His commands. Step number two is doing God's commands. You want to have beginning of wisdom? You do it by recognizing and appreciating that God is your creator. Number two, do what He says. Keep God's commandments. And there are commandments we're going to look at in regard to witchcraft. Third thing, after you have done those commandments, and it's written kind of in a flip-flop way here in this verse of Scripture, you will have a good understanding. Beginning of wisdom, do God's commandments. What follows is a good understanding. Results out of that. And it says then that the Scripture completes by saying, His praise endures forever. Okay, let's look at some of the commands God has given us about witchcraft. Because if we're going to try and gain understanding by doing what God says, then let's look at, I think I have three or four different commands here that God has given us in relationship to witchcraft. The first one I have is in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 18. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 18. It's a single verse of Scripture stuck in between a few other things. This is at the time the Israelites just came out of Egypt, and we, as a church group, have come out of this modern world similarly to what they did. This is a powerful piece of Scripture, completely unacceptable to us today. And I'd say it's rightly unacceptable to us today. This is not something that God intends for us to do today. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 18, you shall not suffer a witch to live. Capital punishment. There was capital punishment at the time this was written for witchcraft in the nation of Israel. We don't practice capital punishment today in our church, that's for sure. We don't allow witches and people who are practicing witchcraft to be a part of the church. And by putting them out of the church, it is the modern equivalent of capital punishment. If somebody in the church begins to practice witchcraft, we would disfellowship them, put them out of the church. That is the present Christian manifestation of capital punishment. If that person does not repent, ultimately they will be a part of the second death. Because there is a second death. Now we're just, who do we apply this to? Do we go out here on the streets of Tartu, Buffalo, Elmira, Horsehead, and look for people who are practicing witchcraft, grab those people and take them and burn them at the stake the way they did in Salem, Massachusetts? No. No, it's not our business. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We won't go there because we don't have time. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13, Paul says, those that are without, God will judge them. We are to judge and apply God's principles within the church. Within the church, we're not to allow a witch to live. We put such a person who practices witchcraft out of the church. Those out in the world, well, we may find fortune tellers. We may find card readers. We may find soothsayers. We may find all kinds of spiritualists out there doing all kinds of things that the Bible condemns. Not our business to go out there and try and straighten out the world. Ultimately, it will be our business. We're not playing marbles here. We're not playing with dolls. This is deadly serious. And we're living our lives because God is ultimately going to allow us to be a part of what He is doing and correcting this whole world. And we're going to bring the world into a great time of abundance, peace, prosperity, and happiness that the world has not ever seen. But it will. God has promised it. And so, that's our future. And it's deadly serious business. Some of the things that you might say, swinging pendants, card reading, fortune telling, astrology, consulting with demon spirits, and living a life and teaching others to follow the ways of a witch. That's God's first commandment about witchcraft. Do not allow a witch to live. By that it means within his church. Leviticus 19:31. Do not regard them, it says, that have familiar spirits. Well, they have evil spirits, that's what that means. They have in them, in their personality, in their maybe even possessing them, familiar spirits. Neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. That looking at the definition of what it means by wizards, it says a knowing one, specifically a conjurer, a ghost, or a wizard. So that's, again, God's commandment. Don't have those with familiar spirits who carry out as a wizard various spiritual things. Deuteronomy 18, we'll go to the third one here, and that'll be the end of the things that we'll look at where God has commanded. Because what we're doing here is that if we want a good understanding, we have to do the things which God has commanded. Okay, so mostly we're doing the things that God has commanded, but then let's look a little bit further to the understanding in a minute. Verse 9 of Deuteronomy 18, when you are coming to the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. God had brought them, was bringing them across the Jordan River into what was going to be their promised land for that nation. They had been slaves in Egypt. They had been 40 years in the wilderness. They had come to that border, that barrier, and they were ready to cross and go over into the promised land, the land of Canaan. Do not, he said, when you cross over there, you're going to see all kinds of things that these Canaanites did. Do not learn or do the things that they did. It was their commandment. And as we sit in the church and we look back out in the world around us, we see all kinds of things going on out there. And a lot of our young people have been born and they've never been part of those things. You shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any that makes his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Witchcraft. All of these kinds of things were going on in the land of Canaan. Do we have astrology now? Do we have the occult now? Do we look in the newspaper and see these astrological charts? Do many people consult those charts and look and even think they affect the way their lives live? Many people look at those kinds of things. You know, we had very popular songs about the seventh house and Jupiter aligning with Mars, and so on. Astrology, the occult, all of those kinds of things. God says those are not allowed, and we don't want to start being involved in those things. And one of the big problems with the school system and being a part of the school system is in going to those things at the school system, our children are forced into those kinds of things virtually. Shall not be found among you any that makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. I guess they still do that in various places here in Northern Europe. They light bonfires and jump through the fire. Now, that isn't probably the same as what's being talked about here, because some people even here actually sacrificed and burned their children in the fire. But that's what God remembers. You shall not be a charmer, a consulter with familiar spirits, a wizard, or a necromancer. All of these things they did in the land of Canaan, God was driving those people out of there because partly of their sins. For all of all that do these things are an abomination to God. Abomination. That is a very, very strong word. To say that something is an abomination, that means it is so nasty and so evil that it is virtually beyond imagination. All those that do these things, and it's one kind of witchcraft after the other that's being described here, or one characteristic of witchcraft after the other that's being described here in these verses of Scripture, don't do any of them. Understanding comes from obedience. All these things are an abomination to the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord your God drove them out from before you. That's what he said. Why aren't they still allowed to be in the land of Canaan? Because of all of these abominations. That's the why. Why they're gone and why you're going to be here. They're gone. What about this world? The leaders of this world, they're going to be gone. And the people that God has called are going to replace them. But he's only calling people that are not going to be doing the same things as the people of this world. Because those things are an abomination. And we're not playing. This is serious business. And ultimately, the entire Bible tells us the entire future of the world depends on us accomplishing these things. You shall be perfect with the Lord your God. So God has promised us understanding if we will obey his commands. There's a lot of things here that are being talked about. Let's talk about some modern manifestations of witchcraft. I'll try quickly to talk about three things. Here's some understanding, I hope, that we may glean from this about witchcraft. And if you want to check out some of these things, I don't necessarily recommend it because, do you need to know these things? Or maybe you get enticed by them if you spend too much time looking at them. Witchcraft websites. And the witchcraft websites, one of the things you find is that is very important to those who practice witchcraft is nature worship. Mother Earth and worshiping nature. The care of the earth is the most important thing. Worshiping the creation more than the creator, thinking that the earth is more important than the people who occupy it. Why did God even create the earth? Because he wanted you. Because he wanted me. To be children in his family. And so the earth was created to facilitate what he was doing in that regard. You know, the earth the earth is here for us. We're not here for the earth. So that's a backward reason. You know, we have all kinds of environmentalism, including global warming and those kinds of things. I would hasten to say that we are stewards of the environment. God gave us this world. We ought to be good stewards of it. We are expected to do that. But when we go into all kinds of bizarre things, which global warming and environmentalism of many sorts is just a bizarre kind of thing. The notion that the small, tiny amount of CO2 that exists in the atmosphere is something that is going to cause the world to come to an end, it's part of the witchcraft that we are experiencing today. And that's the thing. You see, witches, and part of the witch's brew is having our nature be more important than we are. Many kinds of creatures, you know, snail darters and spotted owls. Not that we should not have room on the face of the earth for them, but they become more important than humanity. I don't know, at one point here, just the CO2 matter, and really it's methane, but a greenhouse gas, which does produce some minor amounts of additional heat. Here in Estonia, I don't know if it's still the situation, but it's probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, they had a law or a special tax on raising animals in the state and in the nation of Estonia because of the flatulence that came from the stomach of those animals. And so Estonian farmers were being put into a difficult position because they had to pay a tax on animals that they were raising that the Latvians didn't have to pay. All of those kinds of things. There are lots of, I mean, I don't have time. We could go in the whole sermon talking about that. Mankind was not created for the earth. The earth was created for mankind. So it's a mystery. You know, it's a mystery. This is witchcraft? It is witchcraft. It's a mystery. It's a kind of mystery Babylon religion. It's a mystery. Most people don't recognize it as a mystery. Most people don't recognize it as witchcraft. But it is. It is. What about the monetary? Here's a second thing I would point out. What about the monetary system that we have? You know, hasn't it become a major witchcraft as well? We have no standard of value in our monetary system. And today, what we do in order to create value is print more money. We have something that's known as quantitative easing. And the monetary leaders of the political and the banking world use this to try and create value, and they use it to try and gain an advantage over the other people of the world. There is no standard value of money. There was a standard of value of money for some years. And then this was not the problem that it is now. But I think it is kind of a kind of witchcraft or magic to think that by printing more money, we will create value, pay people more dollars. But if we do not produce more goods, what do those dollars represent? We're just handing people paper. And we're stealing from those who have saved, and we are trying to beggar our neighbors. You know, if Mario Draghi wants to cheapen the euro, and then Janet Yellen wants to cheapen the dollar, and Shinzo Abe wants to cheapen the Japanese yen, and the Chinese want to cheapen their currency, each one trying to make their currency cheaper than the other so they can gain a monetary advantage in world trade. That's what's going on. We have no recognized standard of value. It is a kind of Merlin the Magician, if you know who Merlin the Magician was, situation that's going on. In our era, it actually goes back a lot further, but in our era, probably we'd say this starts with Richard Nixon, when he took the United States off of the gold standard and consequently took the whole world off of the gold standard and gained an advantage over the rest of the world by making the United States currency more valuable than it should have been. Lyndon Johnson preceded that. I'd say this is sorcery and it is witchcraft. It is not obvious to the world. It is hidden, but I think that's what it is. It is the witchcraft of the 20th and the 21st century, along with environmentalism. Those are two manifestations of the witchcraft that we see at the end of this age. The third one, let's go back to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5. On her head, this has got to be a big head to have all this written on it. This is the name. This is the name that God put on the head of this woman. Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon the Great. End of the age Babylon. Not the beginning. In the beginning of the age, Babylon was small. Let's go back 5,000 years. Maybe not quite 5,000 years, but to the time of Nimrod and Semiramis, in which they started the religious systems that exist on the face of this earth today. Mystery Babylon the Great. The mother Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother, Emma, of harlots and abominations of the earth. Remember that word abomination? How God said back in Deuteronomy, don't practice these abominations. And here we see this woman riding on this beast, this woman who is a witch. It's saying that she is the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. A woman is what? A woman is a symbol in prophecy. This is not a literal woman. This is a symbolic woman. It is symbolizing the religious systems of this world. A woman in prophecy is a church. This is not just a church. This woman is the mother of many bad women. The mother of harlots. There are more of them besides this one, but she gave birth to all of them. Do we have a lot of false religions around the face of this earth? Have we had them for hundreds of years, whether it's in China or Japan or India, you know, where you have some very bizarre caste systems ancestor worship and all kinds of things like that. All these things came from what was once a very small area where Babylon existed. Nimrod and Semiramis, and they spread out from there and went all around the world, including modern Christianity. And that's the third manifestation that I have here. Of witchcraft. False religion. It's everywhere. It's everywhere on the face of this earth. Hardly can go anywhere. What's happening in the Middle East right now? What's driving that? It's false religion, isn't it? It's false religion. Where women cannot even show a square inch of their face. I've been to places like that. They have only a little slit where they can look through, but other than that, they have to be completely covered. It's kind of witchcraft. It is a kind of witchcraft. Let's read quickly Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. Out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Unclean spirits relating to religious things. These are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the Bible of the great day of God Almighty. So what we've been told is to be separate. Revelation 18 and verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. This witchcraft, this system that exists, whether it's having to do with the religious system, whether it's having to do with the political system, whether it's having to do with the monetary system on the face of this earth, come out of it. Be separate from it. Don't partake in it, lest you receive of her plagues. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Political religious system of this world. Halloween is seasonally the time of witchcraft. But witchcraft is much bigger than Halloween. It is a big thing across the entire face of this earth year round. It is ongoing. It is something to be aware of, to heed the warnings that God has given to us, and to gain understanding about by doing the things that God has commanded us. Let's follow God's commands and increase our understanding. Revelation 17:5, upon her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth.